The Kingdom of Ai, Chapter 5, The City of Flattery. They brag loudly about themselves and they flatter others to get what they want. Jude chapter 1, verse 16b. After walking for many hours, the weary group was hungry. The sun was sinking toward the horizon and the air temperature had cooled considerably. Since it is going to be dark soon, it would be wise to look for a place that we can rest for the night, Stephen suggested. Agreed, said Timothy. The others nodded. The group stopped, glancing in every direction for a possible location. The area around them was quite barren, and the nearest populated area was about a quarter of a mile ahead. They began to walk toward the walled city, straining to read the name on the sign over the city gates. As they drew nearer, the sign came clearly into view. Welcome to the City of Flattery, the sign announced in large, bold letters. Much smaller print announced the town motto, We flatter you until you give us what we want. The wrought iron entry gates of the City of Flattery were ornately beautiful. The magnificence of the design beckoned passersby to enter to see what lay behind them. How beautiful, Mary marveled. Yes, said Ray, staring wide-eyed at the elaborately decorated gates. I've never seen anything like that. The City of Trepidation was so ugly, and everything about it was so dark and ominous-looking. Don't let its beautiful outward appearance deceive you, a familiar voice said with authority. The group of seekers turned around to find Andrew the Encourager speaking to them. Andrew! David and Thomas both cried out when they recognized the Encourager. Andrew nodded to them and smiled. The nature of flattery is always alluring, Andrew continued. It doesn't repulse people, it draws them in. Be careful when you lodge in that city tonight. Its citizens will shower you with many gracious-sounding words in an effort to take you off guard. Then the excessive praises will begin. If you are not very cautious, you will be easily carried away with their flattery because it will make you feel so affirmed, important, and admired. But it is a strategy intended to deceive and manipulate you and to prevent you from continuing your journey to the City of Seekers. The King's Book says, "A man who flatters his neighbor spreads a net for his feet." The end result of flattery is always a trap. Remember this warning. His voice had taken a very serious tone as he finished his exhortation. Please go with us to the City of Flattery and join us for the evening meal, Timothy pleaded. No, I cannot join you this time. You must pass this test on your own. But keep my counsel in mind, read the King's Book as I've instructed you, and you will successfully complete this part of the journey. And take good care of your new companions, he said with a warm smile and a nod of recognition toward Ben and Ray. Now go quickly before they lock the city gates for the night and remember my warning. The group reluctantly walked toward the city gates as Andrew stood watching them. The gatekeeper opened the gate for them as they approached and welcomed them warmly. As they entered the city, they heard Andrew's voice call out again, Remember my warning! Just as the gates closed behind them. David whispered to Thomas and Stephen as they walked into the City of Flattery, We must keep on guard. Andrew told us to remember his warning 3 times. This must be a dangerous place. You are right, his brother replied. We must remain vigilant. Stephen nodded in silent agreement. The seekers immediately noticed that the air inside the city had a sickly sweet smell, which at first breath produced a nauseating effect upon them. But as they became accustomed to it, the visitors began to feel strangely warmed and comfortable. This disturbed Stephen, as he had taken Andrew's repeated warning seriously and didn't want to become at all comfortable in the City of Flattery. Like David and Thomas, he was determined to remain in a heightened state of alertness until they left the city. What a beautiful group of visitors you are, a man gushed as he walked out to greet them from the lobby of a hotel on the main street. Surely you are tired from your journey and need a comfortable place to lodge for the night. Come with me, and I will show you the best accommodations in town. I will personally make sure that such an esteemed group as yourselves is well cared for, and that you have a wonderful meal before you retire for the night. Welcome to the Smooth Talk Hotel, my dear guests. He bowed low, and with a sweeping gesture, he invited them in. The group stood hesitantly in front of the hotel as they considered the man's invitation. Well, we need a place to lodge, and it is close to the city gates, which will enable us to leave as soon as possible at daybreak. What do you think? Timothy quietly asked the group. The others nodded in agreement. Being close to the city gates is an advantage, but we all must remember Andrew's warnings and be on guard every moment, Stephen added in hushed tones. The group followed the man into the hotel's lobby, where two crisply attired desk clerks stood rigidly at attention behind a counter, ready to register them as guests. Make sure you treat this beautiful group of travelers as VIPs, he instructed the desk clerks, for that is what they are, and they have graced this hotel with their presence. We are so honored to have them as our guests. He nodded to the seekers with an ingratiating smile. Yes, sir, Mr. Manager, the clerks replied in tandem. They quickly began to prepare room keys and registration forms for each of the seekers. A few moments later, a bell was rung and seven bellboys appeared, sharply dressed in matching gold and red uniforms. They grabbed the knapsacks and bags of the group, and with the precision of a military unit, they marched down the hotel hallway without waiting for the guests to follow. Hey, wait, Benny called out. Where are you going with our bags? Don't fear, the manager reassured him. They will wait in front of your room until you arrive to unlock the door. How do they know which room each of us has been assigned and which bag belongs to which person? Benny asked. Don't worry. They just know, the manager answered confidently. When the group walked down the hallway, they were each amazed to see a bellboy holding their personal bag and standing in front of a hotel room door to which each of them held the matching key. None of the bags were mixed up. It seemed uncanny. As each of the seekers opened the door of their room and entered, the bellboy followed with the bag he was carrying. Each of the bellboys attempted to strike up conversations by showering the visitor with compliments. Room number 6, Mary's room. As Mary opened room number 6 with her key, the bellboy followed with her bag and said, "You are a very brave young woman traveling the way you are to the City of Seekers." "Thank you," Mary said, blushing. "I've never thought of myself as brave." "Oh, but you are. Few girls would do what you are doing. How did you become so courageous?" the bellboy asked, feigning admiration. I don't know," Mary fumbled awkwardly, suddenly feeling self-conscious at the unexpected attention. "Well, I think you are courageous and beautiful, too," the bellboy continued enthusiastically. "Do you really think so?" Mary asked, incredulous that anyone would think that way about her. "Yes, I do," he answered emphatically. "In fact, no one as lovely as you has ever stayed at this hotel before. If I ever have a girlfriend, I hope she'll be as pretty as you are," he said, winking at her. Mary blushed again, but felt flattered by the young man's compliments. "I hope to see you in the dining room this evening," he said, as he walked to the door, turned and bowed slightly toward her, and left the room. Mary stood there as the door closed behind him, a wave of unanticipated exhilaration washing over her. She had never had a young man tell her that she was beautiful. She felt a bit giddy as she recounted in her mind every word he had said to her. She sat down on the bed and just shook her head in amazement. Someone thought she was brave and beautiful. Maybe the City of Flattery wasn't such a bad place after all, she thought. She hoped to see him again, too. Room number 7, Ray's room. In Ray's room, as the bellboy placed his bag down, he asked, "Where are you and your friends headed?" "We are going to the City of Seekers," Ray replied. "How interesting," the bellboy replied. "What takes you there?" We are going there to receive instructions on how to travel to the kingdom of Iam so that we can live in the king's great city, Ray answered. You are so adventurous, the bellboy said. I have heard that only the bravest people undertake that journey. No one's ever called me brave, Ray muttered. Maybe I'm just desperate. What do you mean? You seem brave to me to be willing to undertake such a treacherous journey, the bellboy said. Ray replied, the truth is that my brother and I have come from the city of Trepidation, a fearful place. We have longed to escape its clutches to find a place of peace. These people we are traveling with have told us that the kingdom of Iam is a place of peace and joy. To get there, we must travel to the city of Seekers to receive instructions. So that is why we are heading there. The bellboy beamed. Well, if peace and enjoyment are what you're looking for, you should just stay here in the city of Flattery. It is a beautiful and friendly place, as I'm sure you've already experienced. Aren't you tired from your long journey? You would not have to trek any farther. You and your brother can just settle here and enjoy life, far from that city of trepidation, and we could be friends. I don't know, Ray mumbled, but it does sound tempting, as it has been a long and tiring journey. Think about it, the bellboy encouraged, and talk to your brother. I'm sure he will agree. He waved as he headed out the hotel room door. I'll see you in the dining room, and we can discuss it further. The dining room of the Smooth Talk Hotel. When the group assembled in the dining room for dinner, they began to discuss their initial impressions of the city of Flattery. This place doesn't seem too bad after all, Benny offered. It's true, Ray chimed in. The people here seem friendly enough. Yes, I agree, Mary said, trying to hide a smile, and at the same time glancing around the room looking for the bellboy who had showered her with compliments. People seem especially kind and friendly here. I wonder why Andrew warned us about this place. It seems to be a nice place to settle down and live. It is certainly much better than the city of trepidation, Ray added. Keeping his voice lowered as he talked to the group, Timothy said, yes, they are friendly, all right. Too friendly. Didn't you notice all the compliments they were inundating us with? Andrew warned us that manipulation was the strategy of the city of Flattery, with the ultimate purpose of trying to get us to turn back from our journey to the city of Seekers. It is true, said Stephen, his voice quiet but stern. The bellboy who came to my room, after showering me with flattering remarks, started bragging about how wonderful a place this is and suggested we just stay here and settle into the community. Benny's eyes widened. That happened to me, too. And to me, confessed Ray with a sheepish look, and I almost fell for it. Mary looked stricken after hearing their conversation. Oh dear, she moaned. I see now that all those compliments the bellboy spoke to me were just lies in an attempt to manipulate my emotions and tempt me to stay in this place. Tears began welling up in her eyes. Timothy gently put a hand on her shoulder. Probably not all lies. No doubt there was truth in his compliments, but definitely spoken with a bad motive, trying to keep you from finishing your journey to the kingdom of Iam. We all need to stay focused on our goal of traveling to the city of Seekers. Let's just eat our dinner, then head to bed and plan to rise early so we can leave the city at daybreak, Stephen said. No more fraternizing with the locals. They have only one agenda, and that is to keep us here. Timothy nodded and then asked, agreed, as he looked around the table. Agreed, the others mumbled with embarrassed looks on their faces. As their dinner was being served, the hotel staff tried relentlessly to strike up conversation with the group. They attempted different tactics to praise, flatter, and compliment the Seekers, but to no avail. The group sat in stony silence as they ate their meals. As soon as they finished, they marched silently to their rooms and each locked their doors behind them. When morning came, they met in the dining room for an early breakfast, having already packed their few belongings. Again, they were showered with compliments from every staff member that served them. When the group did not respond to their flattery, they became more and more aggressive in their encouragement to stay in the city of Flattery. The seeker squirmed uncomfortably under the solicitous pressure, but remained resolutely silent. By the end of breakfast, when the hotel staff realized that the seekers were getting ready to leave, they changed their tone completely. They began criticizing them vehemently for being fools who would not listen to reason. They began attacking their plans to travel to the kingdom of Iam by saying it was a false dream and accusing Stephen and Timothy of being cult leaders, trying to lure the rest of the group into a trap. When no one responded, they raised their voices and began shouting angrily at them. Timothy and Stephen stood up. The others quickly followed their lead. They all grabbed their bags and ran out of the hotel. They headed straight for the city gates as fast as they could. When they ran past the gates and toward the road, they were amazed to see Andrew the Encourager. He was smiling broadly. "Congratulations for escaping the snares of the City of Flattery," he said, looking quite pleased. "Barely," Ray sighed. "I was almost lured in by their flattery, and to be honest, it felt so good I nearly embraced it. I was such a fool," Mary said as she hung her head. Andrew looked at her with compassion. "But you were not trapped. You got the victory over their ploys. That is commendable." "It's because Timothy and Stephen reminded us of your warnings. If they had not, I think I would be imprisoned there right now," Mary said. "It is so important that you continue to help each other along this journey. In the King's Book, it is written, 'Therefore encourage one another and build one another up.' You will do well to heed this admonition." "Your warnings helped us to stay on guard while we were in the City of Flattery," Stephen told him. "Do you have any more words of wisdom for us as we continue this journey?" "Yes. First of all, you have scarcely taken any time to read from the King's Book. That is foolishness. It was given to you to provide wisdom and answers, and answer questions you don't even understand. Do not neglect this treasure that you have in your possession." Stephen grimaced at Andrew's words, which cut him to the heart. He knew Andrew was speaking the truth. He noticed that the whole group looked at Andrew guiltily, but Timothy looked most miserable of all. "It's true," Timothy acknowledged. "We never even opened it once while we were in the City of Flattery. We were all so tired, we headed to sleep as soon as we finished the evening meal." Andrew looked at them sternly. "There will always be a multitude of reasons to delay reading the King's Book. But it is foolishness to not pursue the wisdom it contains. Its secrets will save you from many snares. Don't be lazy about this. It was given to help you. His word is a lamp for our feet and a light for our path," Timothy recited quietly. "I read that late one night when I could not fall asleep." "Exactly," Andrew nodded. "That is why you must not neglect reading it, even for a single day. Secondly, I must warn you about a city that you will soon encounter along this road."